feel the Holy Ghost. My, my, my. I don't know what it is when I start seeing women start doing that train, going all the way around. What? Ooh. I think the demon started saying, oh, here come the women now. You get a group of women together, start getting them together and getting that swing. Hey, hey, that devil said, hey, oh. He don't know what way to run, which way to turn. He starts looking at God. Help me, God. He said, you shouldn't have messed with their children. Amen. You shouldn't have messed with the husband. Because something is about to happen when you get into the place that you have been pouring seed. Word. Even though it may not look like it's going to turn around. Even though it looks impossible, you serve a God of possibilities. You serve a God that knows exactly where your children are every moment of the day. He knows where you're at every second and every moment of the day. Wonder what's going to happen? He goes, don't worry. Don't fret. Don't worry. I got them. I got them. I got them. But if you don't move your hands off, I can't put my hand in it. If you don't take your hand off of them, then I couldn't put my hand on them. Let me get in there and make change. But quit being the enabler. Woo. We don't want them to scrape their knees. We don't want them to get a bruise. But unless they are broken, they will never cry out. If they cry out to mama and daddy all the time, they're never going to cry out to me. Move yourself out of the equation so that it'll be I am in their life. And what they need, when they need it, I will be there. Fret not, for your prayers availeth much. But even a young man, a young woman must develop their own prayer life. Must develop their own relationship with me, says God. They can't have a relationship through you for God. They've got to have a relationship for themselves with God. Well, you don't understand. They don't want to read. Let them go through what they got to go through to experience a God they need to find. Hallelujah. Nobody want to shot me down now, huh? It's all good. I know my helper. It's all good. See, I recently had a great opportunity to go on a cruise with my family. I thought I was going to go and spend time with the Lord, and the Lord was going to speak all profound kinds of instructions to me, and I was going to come back and tell you, thus saith the Lord. There's a special place on the ship that I would go to. You can ask any one of my family members. They know where to find me. 6-7 o'clock in the morning, you can get up. You want to find me? I'll be in the rear of the ship. I don't know what they call that, port side or what. Anyhow, the left side and the back. I'm very stern. The very back of the ship, looking at the back, looking at the waves. Praying and seeking God for direction. Guess how many times he spoke to me? Zero. Zero. Guess how mad I got. Very. God, where are you? I can't find you. You know, you get kind of real spiritual at that time. Hey, God. Lord. Where art thou? Open my eyes and still see the same blue waters. See the waves just. I see the trail, though, that the ship has made. So about, we're on the fifth day now, on the return after being on all the different islands. The fifth day, I figure, okay, God's going to speak now. He's going to speak now because I ain't got nothing to worry about. I don't got to go up, get up early, but I'm going to get up early. I'm going to seek his face. Those that get up early and seek his face, you will find him. The Bible says. So I got up early. I ran out there. I got my cup of coffee. God, where are you? He's not on the left side. I'm going to go to the right side. Get to the right side of the ship. Lord! I don't hear nothing but waves. And my coffee. Start feeling the Holy Ghost. I had that coffee. You know, the shoulder get to shake. Started getting unctions. Had my cup of coffee. No heartburn. No heartburn. Some of y'all don't remember the last trip I went on. Nothing but heartburn. Couldn't even eat. Yeah, me, couldn't eat. I couldn't even have my coffee. Heartburn. If I drank water, heartburn. That was the last cruise. This cruise? No heartburn. Ate what I wanted to eat. I ate it. As much coffee as I wanted, I could have. So I tell my wife, but he wouldn't let me have more than two. So I had that Holy Ghost cup of coffee. You know, the one like the one you're having right now. You'd say, mm-hmm. You know? Then all of a sudden, I looked at the same waves that I was looking at on this side of the boat. And the only thing that came to me was reflection. That's the only thing. So I started looking at the waves, and the water changes colors as you pass. It's real blue, but then it's mixed with the white, and it's real beautiful. And I'm looking at the waves, and I begin to reflect back on all the things God has done in my life. I started looking at things differently. I started seeing that as a young man, I strayed away from what mom and dad had taught me. And I look back at some of the things that I did, and it shocked me. And I wonder, in the world would I do something like that knowing that's not how mom raised me? And then I remember this one story. It's my story. I was in college, you know, when you know everything. Went to college, and this time I was really enrolled in college this time. And I'm trying my hardest. I want to please my mom and my dad that I'll be the first in our family to graduate college. I thought graduating high school was, hey, we did it. So I'm really trying hard, but I go and find my father at this barbecue place, and me and my friend that used to always hang out with me, we showed up there, and I just had a bad attitude. Didn't know why, just had a bad attitude. So I'm talking to my dad. We're sitting there at the barbecue place, and we're talking. He just looks at me, and he says, "Mijo, I don't know where this is from, but I didn't raise you to be that way." And my dad got off the table and walked away from me. I looked at my friend and said, "What's he talking about? He's a little, you know, tipsy or something. Like, I don't know." That was the thing that I remembered sitting there on the ship. I developed an attitude based on my surroundings. I developed an attitude based on what I could not change. You know, because in college, you're smarter than the professors. You know that, right? Most college students in here think they're smarter than the professors. And then you get attitude thinking, well, you're only in here because you couldn't make it in the real world anyhow. You start thinking that way. Yeah, I know. So you start diminishing what they've already accomplished. And you start making your successes better than their successes, but yet you have no successes. You haven't accomplished anything yet. You're still a youth. Say it like Joe Pesci, you're the youths. And then I remember that while in college, after that incident, that I went home one day, my mom and I were just talking about school, and I was telling her about a situation, an altercation, not physical, but verbally, an altercation I had with my professor because he said I wasn't smart enough to be in his class. And it was truth. I wasn't. But there was a girl in that class that I wanted to impress. Don't look at me all strange. You know you did it too. So instead of being honest and say, you're right, I've never taken trigonometry, but I want to be in this class. I belong in this class. I know what I'm doing. I've got this. He says, no, you don't have the adequate teaching or the skills to stay in this class. You will funk. How do you know? You don't even know what I can do. You don't know what I've been through. You know, I can do it. You know, I just had attitude. So I'm telling my mom this, and my mom looks at me. She says, I didn't raise you to respond to anybody that way. You know, I'm mad because, you know, I got told truth in front of the person I was after. Like, hey. Trying to look cool, looking like a fool. He got me out of that class and had to go to a remedial math because I cheated my way all through high school. But when it came time to do it for real, I didn't know what to do and I got mad. How many times have you gotten mad at truth? How many times have you gotten mad when someone has told you the truth about you? Yeah. Ain't nobody like to hear truth. So when my mom told me that, my dad told me that, I didn't change. I kept my attitude. Here I am in the back of a ship looking at the waves that we created in the front, but we're seeing it smooth out in the back. See, the waves that are there, it is at the forefront that you break through some things to make what you went through smooth out in the end. Amen. And I began to realize something. Mama didn't raise me this way. Now I got to make sure I'm not raising my kids in a way that is not the way of the Lord. So if you would get your Bibles, please. This will become a series because I can't do it justice in just 15 minutes. Proverbs 22:6 out of the King James says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. On Wednesday night, I began to share with you that the Lord has put in my spirit to train up the children in the way they should go. Now, the children that the Lord is speaking to me is not the children of my loins. He's speaking of the children in the spirit. And I began to understand that God was saying to this house, it's not a prophetic house just because you're prophetic. It is an apostolic house in which you will raise up sons and daughters, train them up in the way they should go, so that when they get old, they won't depart from it. That this would be an apostolic training center to raise them up, equip them for the effectual work of the kingdom of God. Now, effectual means to be effective in it, not just to do the work based on your gift. There's many gifted and talented people in this world, but character and integrity is the key, not your gift. I've met many people that have a gift. It's a tremendous gift, but they have no character or integrity to back up what God has given them. If you were to work on your gift and not put the Bible to it, guess what? Your gift is without repentance. It's still going to work. But you want to have the integrity and the character of Christ in you so that it's effectual in building up those around you. Everything that comes out of your mouth becomes an impartation into somebody else's life. We understand that. So what comes out of your mouth is feeding the soul and spirit of the person you're speaking to? How many times you feel like telling some people, you need to just shh. Want to get like Moses and start stuttering because you're really going to go off and say the other words. Not the blessing, but the cursing. The real cursing, you know. The bleepity bleep bleep and then bleeps. Okay. How many times have you felt like telling some people, you need to just zip it, because I ain't your trash can. And if you ain't encouraging me and you're not edifying me and you're not building me up, the only thing you're doing is tearing me down. Right? You're like, yeah, pastor, preach on, pastor, preach on. Well, quit doing it to your kids. Quit doing it to your brothers and sisters in the church. Well, see, but that's the whole reason why they're going through what they're going through, because, you know, that they just got the devil in them. Devil only sees the devil. Devil only sees the devil. Devil don't see light. Devil don't like light. That is done by the devil. You a devil? You a devil? Quit calling me a devil, devil. All they want to do is curse you. You understand? But we need to train up the children in the way they should go. Now let's take it back into our kids in this house. Let's take it to the kids in the house. The kids in this house. This house. Here. See, the kids in this house are hearing some truth. But even the kids in this house can get attitude. Right? Right? Can kids in this house get attitude? Right? You all the, hey, kids, you hear that? All the adults are saying, yeah, right? Right? Hey, kids, can the adults in this house get attitudes? Oh, I hear you now. See, now the teenagers are like, oh, yeah. They get attitude, all right. No, I'm not going to go there yet. Okay, listen. Go to Ephesians 6:4. Ephesians 6:1. 6:1. Ephesians 6:1. 6:1. You know, I was so... This is a side note. Don't take notes on this one. I was so... Okay, look. You know, when I was a teenager, I thought I knew it all. I thought I had it all. I had it down packed. Went to the DMV to get my driver's license. They said, how tall are you? I'm 6'1". Not only 5'11", 6'1". Because then when they would cart me at the clubs, you 6'1"? If I had my boots on, I'd use it as a tool, right? Thinking that just because you're taller makes you smarter. Just because you're taller makes you smarter. You know how many times I have seen people raise themselves above me? Because they think that what they're going to tell me, because they're taller than me, I have to listen. So I'll put it on there, 6'1". 6'1". You won't listen to me. Until the generation got taller. I started looking, 6'1 is nothing now. You look at your son, 6'3". Listen, right? Whole different generation. Are you there, Ephesians 6:1? Some of those following the podcast, where's he going with this? Nowhere. Listen, just get to 6:1. Ephesians 6:1. Ephesians 6:1, 1-4. I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. Watch this. Children, do what your parents tell you. That's what it says. And I believe the writer is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the church. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church, meaning there was kids in the church. Not in a program. Not in a special training class in the back with, you know, Xboxes and iPads and computers. And they were in the church. He says, parents. No, he says, kids or parents. Because the kids think they're parents. No, the kids think they know it all. No, he says, kids Obey your parents. What does that mean? Even the adults are, Is it a trick question? No. Obey your parents, right? And so the kids are like, but you don't understand. You know, they get all mad and everything. You know, they start throwing temper tantrums and everything. Yeah. You don't know. You're not in my room with me. Whoa, man. Y'all need to reel me back in at time, because I went left on that one, Veronica. I was back in my room, and you know, I was the only child, so I was in my room, and I get mad, and I start talking all my stuff down to him. You don't know what Dad did to me. He don't spank me, and I didn't do nothing. I only made one cuss word. That was it, and he spanked me 3 times. Man, if my stuffed animals could talk. But watch this. But, you know, when kids get in trouble, where do we send them? Shame on y'all. I did it too. You know, don't get me mad. I'm going to send you to your room. And we start talking to our teens. Well, how many of you... How many of you get that look like? And that look takes the breath out of your children. They're, right? They can't even breathe. They're like, oh, rapture, take me. They start quoting scriptures already. Right? They start quoting, Lord Jesus, take me home with you. My mom was just praying. Right? Okay, but watch this. He's telling the church kids, obey your parents. And then we have many parents that leave it right there. Well, there's a period, that's it. Let's finish it. Honor your father and your mother. It's the first commandment that has promise attached to it. Watch this, what it says. Namely, so you will live well and have a long life. Okay, some of you children here ain't going to like this one. Y'all ain't going to like it. We had a conversation sitting at the poolside. You put your J's on it. Some of y'all don't know about that kind of lingo. You put your J's in it. Oh, yeah, I'll put my Jordans all up in someone's booty if they ain't acting up right. Well, yeah, let me tell you, because grandma and mama and daddy, if we messed up, and we didn't honor them, I felt like my life was being taken from me. I felt like you beat the life out of me. I felt like just looking at me, my life left. Nowadays, the kids look at us that way, like. Parents be like, oh, Lord, rapture time. Because we're afraid of our kids. We're afraid of getting our kids upset. Shoo. Long life if you obey your parents. Long life. We brought you in, take you out. Yeah. Don't worry. We believe in the resurrection power. You may feel like you're dead, but we're going to lay hands on you, baby. And we're going to raise you up. Right? Pastor, get back to scripture. Fathers. Watch this. Fathers, do not provoke. Do not provoke your children. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Lead them in the way of the master. He didn't say you were the master. He didn't say you were the taskmaster over your children. I want you to get those scissors, and I want you to go edge that lawn with the scissors in your hand. No, you ain't using the edger. You're going to use the scissors. You're going to learn better than coming in at 4 o'clock in the morning and acting like a fool like that and trying to keep me up all night worrying, praying for you. Get those scissors, and I want you to edge that lawn with those scissors. Whew. Got delivered right there. Bought me an edger as soon as I got some money. Bought me an edger. I bet you know what? I never came in late again. Yeah, yeah. Shoot. They don't know about this one. And you're going to cut the grass? And I want it to be this high. Get that ruler and measure it. That's how high I want it. All of it? You had to measure the blade of grass and then cut it with the scissors. All of it? You would pray no rain would come. Be on your knees. Snip, snip, snip. Well, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute now. Being like a taskmaster to your children, but you yourself ain't coming in until 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. Acting like a fool, coming in drunk, breaking things up in the house. Huh? But yet you want to tell your children that this is what they got to do. Don't provoke your children getting angry with you. Now, if they get a little sideways with you because they just don't want to listen to truth, I'm stretching my knee. You got to let them know something. We train them up in the way of the master, in the way they should go. We train them up in the word. It's respect. It's honor. It's love. That's what we do. We train them up. But we don't spoil them. We don't spoil them. You know, some of the kids are like, I'm keeping my iPhone, right, Dad? Right? I'm keeping my iPhone, though. I get to keep my iPad and my iPhone and my computer. I get to keep all that, right? Then I love you. I love you. We want to make them feel so comfortable and like, oh, I love you so much. Can you go get me some more shoes? You got about 15 in your closet. All we had was Converse. We couldn't even say the V, Converse. That's all we had, Converse. White. They had no colors back then. Back then, you can go to Winds. Y'all know about Winds? I don't know about no Winds. Go to Winds and get them for $9, $9.99. Shoe. You want some more shoes? Guess where we're going? We're going to Winds, baby. See, but we think we got to go ahead and get them all those, you know, those real expensive ones that came out. Caper. Some of y'all don't know about no capers. Mm-hmm. Or what was that? Those track shoes? Remember track shoes? No, the zips. Remember the zips? So fast. Zips. Y'all remember about that, huh? You know you had 3 pair, Ramey. Don't be lying. They were the zips. They had the Z on the side. It made you run faster, jump higher, and kick the ball farther. Remember kickball in school. No, but we want to give our kids everything that's up and coming, the newest things. The only reason why we do that is so we can get their old phones. Because we don't know how to operate them. But Hannah, how do we upload photos to Facebook? Hannah, Facebook is so like yesterday. What's Instagram? You don't need to be on Instagram. Okay, give me a Twitter account. You don't need to have a Twitter account. Well, what do I need to have? Just a phone. Okay, Hannah. Then you walk away and like, I didn't learn nothing other than my child is controlling me. How many of us have, okay, don't raise your hand. I know your kids are in here. I know it. Don't do it. Okay, how many have kids that they want the newest things? Oh, really? There's only 2? Yeah. You know, they want the newest things because they want to be like everybody else, right? Okay, those that raise your hand. Kids. How many of your parents want the new things too? Uh-huh. Just miracle went, shh, hey. I got a J-O-B, baby. I get what I want. Hello. Don't worry. You ain't got no job. I pay for you. Pastor, can we just lay hands on the kids now? All right. Just get back. Get back on track. Whew. Train up a child in the way that he should go. When they get old, they won't depart from it. We have got to start learning that as the kids, children of God, we are in the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. And what God has instilled in us through his word and through his spirit, we must adhere to. But we compromise too much. We compromise. All of a sudden now things begin to change in the Supreme Court and they start making decisions. Now the church is all in an uproar. I can't believe that they are approving same-sex marriage and this and that. Well, where was the church before it happened? Now you want to cry about it now? I look at everything that's taking place. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Things that happen because the church wasn't there. I look at it as a tool. Well, you're gonna tell me that I've got to make room in the children in the restroom so that if a transgender comes in and decides at that very moment, I'm no longer a male, I'm going to be a female, I've got to make accommodations. I sure enough will. Come in the church. Sit in the church. Sit under the anointing a while. You're going to leave different. I look at it as a tool. As a tool. You want to be transgender? You want to go? Me too. I'll go with you. But you're the pastor. I know. Come on. Who's going to preach? Oh, I got preachers in there. Don't want to come. I'll go with you. And then I'm going to sit down with you too. Why? Because I'm going to invest in you. Because you're confused. Do you see what I mean? And we want to get all mad at the system that is now trying to regulate the church. To me, the way I look at it is go ahead and make all kinds of changes to the church, whatever you need to do. But the reality is if we're not making change in the people, we ain't being a church anyhow. Right. We've got to make change. Everybody has sin. Look to your neighbor and say, hey, sinner. I can't believe y'all said it. Y'all were so quick saying it too. Hey, sinner. And some of y'all are like, I told you were. We're not all perfect. We all have issues, right? There's all some sin in there. But we think that some sin is greater than others. Oh, but see, I didn't murder nobody. I just cheated on my taxes 1 year. That's all. I claim... But everybody has something in their life that is not pure, okay? And so we all need to be in the church. Now, how many have heard this before that I'm not going to church because the church is going to burn down, so I'll go when I get my life together? Yeah, how many of you used that yourself before you came in to know the Lord? Okay, the thing is that the church is for that. It's to train us up, to equip us, and get us ready for the effectual work of the gospel. But yet people think that because the stigma that is out there on Christianity, that Christians are so... judgmental. Well, here's the truth. For so long, Christians have been judging everybody. They've been judging the people in their sin. They've been judging so much. The reality is that we're not to judge anybody. We're not. We're to love everyone. Some of y'all are like, I have a hard time loving this individual. This individual is always coming against me. I didn't say that you got to go embrace them and hold their hands all the time. You love them through their situation. Well, you know, Pastor, I just don't trust him. Don't trust him. He didn't say you have to trust everybody. Just love him. That's it. Just love him. I see, you know, every time I walk into the church, they just look at me up and down. They're like, you don't even know how to match. Look at you got a brown shoe and a black shoe. Me too. See, we start picking at things. But that's not training up. That's not equipping. That's not exhorting. All that is doing is tearing down. How many of you are tired of being torn down by other people? And then we've got to be equipped to start speaking life. And by speaking life, you begin to encourage individuals, even in their sin, even in their mess, you can make it through. But you're not going to make me compromise the word of God. Do you understand? So when your teenagers want to get mad at you because they don't want to go to school because it's so early in the morning, you know, 8 o'clock, oh, my God, it's so early. I'm not used to getting up until 3 in the afternoon. You're going to get used to it. You're going to get used to it real quick. Real quick. Because we let them do what they want to do behind the closed doors. Then you tell them, put your phones up at 10 o'clock. I want to be at 10 o'clock. I want your phones put up at 10 o'clock, not 10:01. Come 10:15, you're walking in the room. Where are the phones? And then you see the light underneath the door. There's a glow. And then you walk in and... Right? And they, like you didn't catch it. Right? We know things. We ourselves as parents can't compromise to the raising up of our children in the right ways. We can't. And we have to be equipped to equip. Your church does not raise your children. Do you understand that? Your church and your church nursery, your church daycare, or your VBS does not raise your children. You do. How do you raise them? By reinforcing what they've learned in church or what you've learned in church. Huh. Okay, now. Church is not a daycare for you to drop them off and you leave and go do what you want to do. I'm going to say it again real quick. I didn't think you heard that one. I'm saying, church is not where you drop off kids at church and then you leave. They're in church, but you leave and go down the road to have. Number two. Mama told me. Mama, like Bobby Boucher, Waterboy said. My mama said. Not to lay down my morals. If mom and dad raise you right, treat others right. Treat them with respect. You don't demand respect. Just because you've grown at 15. Just because you've grown at 22. Just because you've grown at 62. You don't demand respect. You give respect. Amen. Respect is given back. You understand? All right, now this is about to get some of you military men and women in here mad. Just because you did things in the military a certain way, that means that it's going to be the same way in this life here. It don't work that way, sir, ma'am. There's principles that work, but the shouting and screaming doesn't move people to do things. Or having things done a certain way to expect a certain outcome, it doesn't always work. In the military, it has to. Why? Because you had a drill sergeant or you had someone about that would come and inspect what you did, but didn't inspect who you were. Do you understand? We in this society, and this is what we live in, we need to inspect the fruit. This is what Jesus said. You will know them by their fruit. And what we are to do is to see that the fruit that you are seeing in them is that of God, not of their surroundings. Do you understand? How many of you, and this is, I love the armed forces. I love the armed forces. How many of you have been around a Marine? Raise your hand. How many of you have been around multiple Marines? Pretty much the same, is it not? Their demeanor, the character, they're great people, but they've been trained and molded for a certain thing to do, correct? And you know it, and they're proud of it, aren't they not? Hoo-ah! Okay, what about an Air Force? Anybody in the Air Force? Been around military Air Force? Okay. Now, you've been around them in multiple ones and you can pretty much tell they've been in the Air Force, and they're proud of it, are they not? In the Air Force. But if you get a Marine, an Army, and Air Force together, along with some in the Navy, they're going to start bickering and complaining about who's better. Is that right? Oh, we the Navy, we the ones that get you there. Oh, we the Army, we the ones on the ground. We're the Marines, we're special forces. We the ones that don't get seen, but we do all the work for you. Right? They start comparing. It's no difference here in the church. You know what? I'm an armor bearer. You know what? I'm the one next to pastor. I'm the one supposed to be next preaching anyhow. Oh, y'all didn't make that switch with me? Oh, okay. So, you know, I'm a minister, and as a minister, I have special rights. You know the front row is for leaders? Y'all know that. What you sitting there for? Where you been sitting? In the back, but, you know, I was praying. In the church, we start doing the same thing. We start saying, but we're trained for a purpose and we all got to be different for a certain thing. But yet, if you don't do anything in the things of God, like in love and show respect for one another, all you're doing is tearing down the very thing God wanted the church to do and to become. Is that we're all different parts of the body, but we're still one body. So we have to train people up to begin to move together as one. Because I look at the same scenario in the military. If there's a war going on, guess what? They all get dispatched. They're all fighting the same enemy. They're no longer trying to figure out who's better. You know what? Hey, we've got a goal to meet. We have a foe that we're fighting, the same one. Now all that bickering and complaining that was taking place, who's better? We all need each other at this moment to win. Do you understand what I mean? And what we need to do now is, as we're training up the church and we're building the church, what we've got to do is start seeing that everybody is equal. Equal. I heard this the other day. Well, you're the pastor. I'm a man. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I make mistakes. Don't you dare put me on a pedestal thinking that I've got everything together. If it wasn't for the super glue... Shoot, forget that Gorilla Glue. You know, you put that thing on, that nothing comes off. God has had to put me together over and over because I've been broken so many times. Been broken so much that sometimes I can't even figure out what the right thing to do anymore is. Your brokenness, beloved, is about to turn around. And everything that is inside of you that God has given you is to be heard. It's to equip others. There's a leadership about you that is about to teach some people to do certain things. You have begun to see, there's been a trickling of the water coming your way. But I hear the Spirit of God saying that your voice will be heard. Your voice will be heard. Not that of just singing, because there's a singing inside of you. There's a new song that will come forth. But what's going to come out of you is, thus saith the Lord. You have the innate ability to begin to discern things very quickly and to understand when the Spirit of God is moving and what He wants to say and do. Be keen to His Spirit. And the influences that I see that stand with you and around you, put their mouth on you. Beloved, I encourage you that the Spirit of God guide you, lead you, and to cut what doesn't need to be around you. You're in a season of stripping. Now let it go. Keep your hands lifted high and your eyes fixated on Him, because I'm about to turn around in your life the greatest blessing that you've been asking for, and you're not going to be alone anymore. Your heart has been broken and been taken advantage of over and over because you give because you're a giver. Every time in a relationship, you trust and you get taken advantage of. And you want to know when I heard this word? When you stood next to me at my couch. I felt it and I knew it. I said, God, if you want me to release it, I release it. And then the next thing out of your mouth, as you made a promise to my daughter, you were coming. I said, okay, if she kept that promise, God, you're going to release this because you're making a change. Beloved, the man that is going to hold your hands and lift you up. My God. He's going to respect you, love you, hold you. And he said, you don't have to have money. I bet it helps. But as long as he loves me for me, I'll do anything and everything. I will honor my husband. I will honor my spouse. But let him honor me. I see you being held by two arms around you, squeezing you, saying, everything's going to be okay. You've suffered a lot of loss. A lot of loss. And at times the insecurity comes in and it's not you. Beloved, be encouraged. Those arms are the arms of God holding you. Releasing the atmosphere where you fellowship. Let your worship come from within you. Let it irritate those around you. Let it come forth out of the belly, out of the depths of your soul. And it'll break the chains off of them. You have a deliverance ministry, beloved. A deliverance ministry. Come help me, Josh. That deliverance ministry will set many free from the captivity they've been in, from the mindset, the heartache, and the disappointment that has been around them. You can discern it very quickly in the lives that are around you. Baby, speak truth. Speak truth and don't hold back. Because before you really submitted to God, oh, you know how to put it down with your words. And you're going to put it down with the heart of God. And you can set some people free. There's a deliverance ministry. Your eyes are opening right now. Here, your eyes are opening. The scales are removing. The panoramic view will come forward. There's prophetic insight in you, beloved. The prophetic is in you. But you have shut it down out of fear because of what people have said. Even when you miss, that's the greatest word you will ever give because you will know when to trust God. Beloved, I would to call you to say to stand up and rise in this very hour. The prophetess is coming forth. The prophetess is coming forth. And you will speak the things of thus saith the Lord in the season to know that God selected you. I bless you from the crown of your head to the very soles of your feet. I speak to your spirit, man. Arise. Arise. And shine. For the glory of God is upon you. It is his grace and his mercy that has kept you. But it is his love that will drive you, push you, and take you to that place that will set the captives free. Is there not yet a prophet in the land that can speak thus saith the Lord? It is inside of you, and it shall come forth, says the Spirit of God. Truth and love. Lift your hands if you would, baby. Just lift your hands. Fill her up, God. Fill her up. Fill her up, God. Where you have placed her, God, they have need of her. She's been overlooked many times. Look past her. But all along, you have sent her there for a reason. God, let her shepherd know. Let her shepherd know. Thank you, Jesus. There's an angel moving in your family right now. In your family. There's an angel moving in your family right now that is about to bring reconciliation. Reconciliation and restoration in your family. He says, I'm turning back the things that the enemy has taken from you. I am restoring to you. I am bringing back to you seven times greater what the enemy has taken from you. Seven times greater. This is your season and this is your hour. I speak this way because I see the hand of the enemy has been trying to take you out over and over and over. But God says, not this one. Not this one. She is mine. She is mine. I bless you, beloved. I bless you. Oh, my God, have your way in her life. Woo. My God. Peace. 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 I bless you. God bless you. My God. Stand to your feet, church. Stand to your feet. I'm going to continue in this vein concerning training up, training up, training up. We're going to raise up. We're going to raise up sons and daughters in this house that when it's time to be sent out, you'll be blessed out. You will not become bastard children going out there without a covering. I say this because the enemy has run rampant in churches all over the place, thinking that the gift will make room for you. It just didn't tell you where. You will be trained up, raised up, and released to do the very things of God. The very things of God. There is so much that is going on in the churches today. People want to be seen. People want to be heard. But every now and then, we just need to have someone that has a heart for God. Has a heart for God. And when they have a heart for God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Wisdom. A warrior in spirit, a warrior. There's an arrow and a bow. Your quiver is full. I'm bringing victory and I'm bringing healing, says the Spirit of the Living God. You're a blessed man, sir. A blessed man. When I touched your heart, I felt an impartation. I felt it leave my hand. But the strange thing, I felt it come back into my hand. And I received what you have released unto me, says the Spirit of God. If I may, I may. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless the patriarch, Father. I thank you for his spirit. I thank you for not just the intellect, but the wisdom that comes from you, God. And I thank you for long life, God. Long life. The divine healing that has taken place, God. I thank you right now, Father God. Let him experience that joy and peace. Joy and peace. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. The church is moving in the direction based on the blueprint of God, not the blueprint of man. There's going to be a mighty rushing wind that is about to go through the churches across the land. They will look to say, where did it come from? Where is it going? But they will not know. But he would have already removed the chaff from the wheat. He will remove the outer and expose the inner, so that what is inside will fall to the ground and die, germinate, and produce. In that season, I speak blessings unto each and every one of you. If every one of you will please just lift your hands and release a blessing into your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I declare by the word of the Lord, I prophesy into existence, into their very life, that their children will be blessed, their grandchildren will be blessed, their spouses will be blessed, their lives will be blessed. And Father, that everywhere their foot touches, Father, becomes holy ground. And they will take dominion and authority over it. Father, I release this blessing from the crown of their head to the very soles of their feet. And I thank you for them, God. I bless them. Let this year, Father God, the remainder of this year, be the year that you promised them at the very beginning. That this will be your jubilee. That this will be the end of the very thing that has kept you bound and kept you captive. I will loose my people and I will free them of their debts. They will no longer be bound, but they will be set free. I bless them. When I speak this word into existence, into the life, though it tarry, wait, for it shall not tarry. It shall manifest and bring to existence the manifestation of this word in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, I want you to say amen. Now I want you to say hallelujah. And God is good. And he is good all the time.